Lord and His goodness. What a great God we serve. Amen. He is good to us, and He definitely deserves the praise and the honor. Now, we've been in this series. We do apologize again for the projector. We bought parts, and it wasn't the parts. So we got extra parts, so we got a new projector coming. Okay? It'll be here Thursday. So that's how you do it when you're trying to fix things in-house. So we have one coming on Thursday. Hopefully we'll have it in here and it'll all be working fine again. So, you know what that means. Get your Bible. Everybody get your Bible, because you're going to have to look up the places I tell you. And this is always good. Maybe you hadn't looked them up in a while and you're not familiar with it. But we want you to practice. It's good practice. If the light goes out, we won't have a projector anyway, even if it was working, but we can have our Bibles. Amen? So we want you to find your spot as we go through this. Now, we in this series, again, this is a big series. You're going to hear this often. It's going to take a couple years to get through this thing. But we're going to take our time. And that's what we've been doing. Understanding the words of Jesus, everything He said. We need to know it. We need to know it, and we need to be skillful at what He said. We need to master what He said. We need to do those things in our life. Very important to our life. If you want success in your life, you're going to have to learn how to master those things. So we've been looking at poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn and the meek. And now we're going to get on hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then we're going to be on here about 4 weeks on just this one. When we get over here, it'll move on a little faster. But these are important because you can't have, this is residual effect. This is fruits in your life without these. Without these, you think you're doing those. You never attain to those things. Remember, it's about momentum. It's about starting on the first ring and keeping momentum. Now, I want to talk about this one because last week I was talking about, just as a precursor, on these four are valuable because it's we understanding something about who we are when it comes to God. This is the only one that you can actually mingled in His glory. Understand that. It's about putting the glory back on in our life. It's the beginnings of it. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. The King James says filled. It's filled is a term that it kind of says it and it is what it is. But I wanted to just elaborate on that word filled a little bit. You're going to be satisfied. I mean, no, satisfied. How many has already been hungry in your life? See, we know about this. And notice that Yeshua is always taking things we know about. He's not just kind of throwing us something we can't relate to. How many knows what it means to be hungry? You're hungry. You get hungry. You might work all day and you get hungry. What do you want? You want something to eat. And isn't it how it's amazing how much your mouth waters when it's your favorite? Who can think right now about your favorite thing you like to eat? Just your favorite. And so you're thinking about your favorite, and I want you to kind of keep that on your mind the whole time I'm talking today. Because I want you really hungry. I want you like having to swallow your spit because you get your mouth is salivating because you want it. You're thinking about it. Let me swallow. And so think about being hungry. What happened after you got what you like? You ate it. And there was a certain point, and I know nobody's ever done this, but I've done it a few times, where you overate. You laid back a little bit and go, oh my. But you didn't want no more. Because you were satisfied. You were satisfied. But then came a time in your life, an hour later, you could have had a little more of what you just got finished eating because you got You wanted it so bad. So there's some paradox in this verse that we have to look at. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be satisfied. So if I'm satisfied, what's the point in being hungry and thirsty again? Because I'm what? Satisfied. It's kind of a paradox. We're going to settle those things as we go through this. And I want it to be a blessing to your life. So the ring four, the difference in these rings is you can't get, this one's not even reachable without momentum. You can't get here without momentum. Now, I want us to not make any mistakes here. You got to make sure that your hunger and thirst has to be as was is described as Yeshua puts it. How many's ever tried something, had a bite of something that somebody else was just going, man, you got to try this. This stuff is good. And you didn't have a desire for it. You just done it because they encouraged you to do it. I'm convinced that that's the position of the church. This one's only born out of true desire. And you can't have that desire because desire is learned here. It's not you don't put the desire coat on today. Desire is a progress. It's a momentum. It's recognizing my position where I was in God. So I'm going to give you some points here just as a review. Blessed are the Matthew 5:6. You can go there in your Bible. Won't be there very long. We're going to move around a little bit. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The one thing that he wants us to remember that we have to hunger and thirst for is righteousness. Remember that, righteousness. Now, how do you know what righteousness is? You learned it here. You looked at Yahweh and go, wow, the best example of ultimate righteousness and glory is him. And when I get next to him, I realize I'm a beggar. He's got it all, and I don't have any. Because my righteousness is like a filthy rag next to him. Remember, we're not talking about self-righteous. You can call yourself whatever you want today, but that's not what I'm dealing with. We can deal with that much later in this series, but what we're dealing with is ultimate righteousness. It's the fact that God is never lost his glory. He's never given his glory. His glory is underived. He didn't gain his glory. So that you can't go higher than Yahweh. If you could, there's something better. You can't go higher than Yahweh. Remember that. And then, once we recognize that, we mourn over our condition. What is happening here? You're starting to get a little hungry for what you just experienced. Then this one right here is a tough one. You didn't even realize how tough this one was. But this is what helps us. I'm going to read it to you so you can get it. I put some notes down here. The fourth beatitude is really a turning point of this whole thing. It's the turning point. The first three have been about our need for Elohim, about our desperate position in life. These show you your desperate position in life. You've been to a place where you waited all day long to eat. All day. And you pushed yourself. I'm not eating yet. We're going. Maybe you're traveling. But when you get to the spot, to the feeding trough, some of you understand that better. Get your spoon out. I'm going to come over here. I ain't preaching over there yet. You got to don't let all them secrets out. But you get there and you're ready. And you can, you know how, boy, it tastes, every bite tastes so good. How'd that happen? You built to that. When's the last time you felt that way about righteousness? Man, I can't wait to get me some righteousness today. Remember, what pushes you to that is experiencing these, because you can't even get here without momentum. Can't get there. You can't say, well, today I'm a hunger and thirst. That's what I'm doing today. I've been serving God for 20 years, but I made my mind up. Today I'm a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hold up a little bit. You know how you get there? You got to come back right here. 20 years in, 30 years in, 40 years in. You come right back here, because you can't just decide I'm going to be hungry today. Don't work that way. That is taking a bite of what somebody else convinced you tastes good. That's what that is. You can call it praiseworthy. You can call it church. You can call it what you want. But God calls it nonsense. True hunger and thirst for righteousness can only be produced by understanding these three, and they operate in your life. Let me give them to you one at a time. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit means I know that before Yahweh, I do not have what it takes, and realize I'm a poor beggar who needs Yahweh every day. Number two, blessed are those who mourn. Why would I mourn? Because I see my sins are many. I must mourn over my sins. Why? Because they've been costly to me and to others. And most of all, they were unspeakably costly to Yeshua Messiah. So much so, it cost him his life. What I'm trying to do is get my life at that expense. Because of my sin, it cost somebody theirs. I ought to mourn over that. You ought to mourn over it, not once or twice, every chance you get. Because that's what produces a hunger, a real hunger. Because let me tell you, we all have appetites in here. You all have appetites for certain things. Some of you like certain things that others don't like, but it's your appetite. We have to make sure that when it comes to the appetite of spiritual things, that it's the things that he wants us to take in, not the things we like. It has to be a hunger and thirst for righteousness. For righteousness. Think about that. Number three, blessed are the meek. I grow in meekness because I see that Elohim has not treated me as my sins deserve. He has treated me with grace and kindness. When I wrote this down, I wept over this. As I continue getting used to the hand and staying in the yoke with Yeshua Messiah and allowing meekness to be developed in my life. It don't just come as a prize. There's a development stage right here. You're yoked up with him. And you don't resist him. You just let him do the work. He guides us and he directs us. We're following him. Is he going to lead you wrong? He'll never do that. He'll never do that. Sometimes he leads me in the valley of the shadow of death. David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Think about that. It's all over the scripture. I'm so glad you're seeing these patterns all over scripture. It's what I've been trying to tell everybody. If it's, I get up here, I'm so excited because I see them constantly. And every time I see them, I'm like, God, there's nobody. You didn't allow anybody to take your word and abuse it in such a way that ultimately it would lose its ability to give us what we need to have eternal life. Because God is a master at, when you think you can change it, he always makes sure that it's hidden in the mystery of the word. You're not going to see it. Not the natural eye can't see the hidden things. It doesn't know those things. But those who seek earnestly God, he'll reveal those things, and then you can go back and correct any mistake that man may have made. Isn't that amazing? To me, it's absolutely incredible. So my prayer is that you see these things. Who's getting used to the hand? The first three Beatitudes about seeing our own position before Elohim. This fourth Beatitude moves us forward. It moves us forward. So we're coming from meekness and we're using the momentum from poor in spirit, mourning, and meekness so we can grab hold to this ring. We're using momentum to get us there. It moves us forward. It speaks about desire that arises out of the work of Holy Spirit in the first three Beatitudes. Desire. What's your desire? Your desire that rises up. When you're hungry, you have a desire. That desire is to do what? Eat. It's to eat. This is important that we have desire built in order to get here. It's absolutely no sense whatsoever to try to convince yourself you got to get more involved in church. It's out of your power, my power, you can't do it. No matter how good we think, well, I'm going to pray more. You're trying to convince yourself of that. You're not going to do it. You might start out, you might do it for a week. It's like people's New Year's resolutions and Lent promises and everything else you can think of where people say, I'm gonna make this promise or this, I'm going to do this. If you try to do it outside of God's, the way he designed it to be, you can't do it. That's why folks will say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And it's only for a little while and it goes away. What is wrong? Why do we do that? Because we're trying to do it. The hunger, the way God describes it, can only be produced by these three. There's no desire whatsoever. It might be a day you like to sing. So you come to church and it was a day that you decided you wanted to sing and you sang. So what did you get out of that? Nothing. Because it's what you decided. True hunger and thirst for righteousness. You sang in a song been on your heart all week. It just so happened they played the song been on your heart and you joined in. You've been praying all week because that's what desire does. You don't wait for Sunday. If you're waiting for Sunday, that's no desire. Well, this week we got church. I got one day this week I got church. That's no desire. That's you feeling obligated that you don't let nobody down, first yourself and then others that you call in your circle. But desire is you can't get rid of that appetite to make sure that Yahweh is seeing you for the first time in your life since you started over there, the first time in your life starting to put on the garment of glory. Because his righteousness is what covers us. Think about that. That the righteousness of God could be fulfilled in us. That's the goal. We got to get the righteousness of God. Somebody said, well, God ain't got righteousness. The righteousness of God's fulfilled in us. It's what we're admiring right here. It's incredible. Yet, he did something. He promised us right here. This is where he gave his only son. He humbled himself. He put on meekness even to the death of the cross. Think about that. And then we leave from there and we swing into righteousness. How many want to learn what it takes and how do you get to the spot where you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Not just come, not just be here, but you truly hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're gonna see how amazing this is. Now, you're going to have appetites. Everybody's got appetites. Some people have appetites for entertainment. That's what they're into, entertainment. Some people have appetites for whatever it is you want to do. Watching movies, playing games, whatever that is, you have an appetite for it. You say, well, how do you know that? Because that's what you do most of the time. That's your appetite. If you don't know what your appetite is, add up what you do most of the time. Most of your life, add up what you're doing. That's your appetite. What do you mostly think about? That's your appetite. You add up the days that you're up, the days that you're awake, what you're focused on, that's your appetite. Think about that. Now, I'm not talking about stuff going on in your life. You got a lot going on. But what's as you're doing things, you can, how many of you ever drove without thinking? You could be driving and still have stuff on your mind. Driving's not your appetite, but what's on your mind is. It's the things you're thinking about, you're contemplating, and you're rehearsing them over and over. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could convert your appetite to be thirsty and hungry for righteousness? Think about that. How important that would be. How many's ever been on a long trip, like over 3 hours? Think about that. Sometimes you can drive for a 3-hour drive without stopping. Some people can't, but you might be able to. Some can drive for longer than that and not even stop. What's going on? If you have other people in the vehicle, your conversation, what are they like? What's the music that's on? It's all going to be controlled by appetite. It don't matter what you do here. We all bring one of these. We can put clothes on like this and sit down, and that's a, we role playing. This is role playing. But when you're by yourself and nobody's around, what's your radio station? What's the TV program? During the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what's going on? That's your appetite. Think about it. Your appetite could be work. It could just be work. You put everything in work. Could be school. You put everything in school. Just let me tell you, no matter what you pick, whatever one it is, this is the one that suffers. Because according to God, after you experience this, the most important appetite of your life is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be satisfied. If you want God's opinion, he gave his only son to give a message to us. He's our rabbi, he's our teacher. What did the teacher say? If you want blessings, hunger and thirst for blessings. No. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, go to bookstore and learn 7 steps to prosperity. Or find a church, that's what they're talking about. He's already told you how to be blessed. It's not learning how to be blessed. See, we want to flip everything around because that don't fit me. Because my appetites, that don't fit in there. So I go to a bookstore, you'll find hundreds of books on prosperity. You won't find 5 on how to be righteous. Something's wrong with the Christian bookstore. It's not just the enemy that's out to get us. It's not the world that's out to get us. I submit to you today, the church could be out to get you, making you believe that this is the plan of God. You'll find books on prosperity, on giving, and all that, hundreds of them. But you'll be hard-pressed to find 5 that must humble you down to make sure that you're seeking nothing but righteousness. Think about it. I think these important points being brought up. Hunger is more than a vague interest. Hunger is more than a vague interest. When I'm hungry, it's nothing vague about it. Now, I'm going to go back and forth to natural hunger, which you know how that is. He ain't changing here. When he talks about hungry, what does he mean when he uses the word hungry? He means hungry. He's doing something you can relate to. Isn't it amazing? He talks about being hungry and he says, I'm the bread of life. Imagine that. That one's a real tough one right there. Well, what do we do with it? Remember, it's not vague. When you're hungry, it's not vague. You're not traveling and you're waiting and you're waiting. You're traveling. Does anybody want to eat? Yeah, I'm hungry. Where are we stopping? Where are we stopping? So you pull out, you're off the road, and everybody finds a spot. And then you find a spot and you park in the parking lot and you go, well, it's kind of vague to me right now. I really don't know if I'm hungry or not. That's not what happens. When your spot's picked, you already kind of menu in your mind. I know what I'm getting. Anybody ever done that? If you're going to the restaurant, down to the restaurant, and you hadn't eaten all day, I know that boy can eat right there. You want to pay for his clothes, not his eating, huh? Are you vague about it? No, he's not vague. He's got on his mind. I know what I'm getting today. I know what I'm getting. I sound just like him, don't I? Man, I need to stay out of that boy's room. Let me come over here and leave him alone a little bit. You're not vague about being hungry. You know what you want. You know what you like. You've tasted it and you want it. You know you want it. When it's what you like, it's your appetite, you go all out for it. I've seen it happen so many times in my life because it's what I wanted. Well, righteousness. We could talk that game, but when's the last time I really wanted it where it wasn't some vague idea in my life or I was hinting about it? Because it's not. Hunger is not some vague interest. It is an intense desire. Remember, hunger is an intense desire. A person who really hungry will do almost anything to get food. Think about that. A person who's really hungry would do anything to get food. Now, isn't it amazing? He already started us out right here on what it really means to understand what being hungry is. He calls us a what? A beggar. And we learned here that the beggar goes and he gets the bread and the man gives him the bread and he eats the bread and the next day he's there again. He says, what did you do with the bread I gave you yesterday? I eat that. That was enough for yesterday. He's getting you ready for over there. You don't even know what it means to be hungry yet, but he's starting to prep you where your mind's starting to lean in that area. I ate yesterday's bread. I'm here today because when I stand next to you, I realize how much trouble I'm in. And you got everything I need. You're everything to me. Let me tell you, when Yahweh is not everything to you, you don't know what it means to truly hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's got to be everything. What's on your mind? At any given point of the day, what's on your mind? When you're fishing, what's on your mind? You focused on a fish, you know what you're doing. You do well at it because that's what you've been doing. But deep down on your mind, you know what's on your mind? You can't wait to spend some good quality time with him. That's what's on your mind. That's a person who understands what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you're going wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, you don't mind doing it. But what's deep and passionate on your mind is him. It's be careful how we switch our appetite. If your appetite is to do something that is strong, that'll be the thing that's the highest part of your life. You can do that before you do anything. It's very important. Hunger is not some vague interest. It's a person who really hungers will do almost anything to get food. His life depends on it. Hunger is the strongest of motives. How many have ever been motivated to eat? You're motivated by what? Hunger. You get motivated. It's not like today. Today you go to the store and you get it. But years ago, folks got motivated by hunger to go out in the woods. And they were really motivated. They looked at their clan. They seen their clan and said, we got 50 of us. They ain't talking about one rabbit. You understand what I'm saying? They're motivated by hunger. A rabbit will do you, not 50. You got 50 people who are hungry. They're looking to you. They're trusting you're going to do it right. You got to get motivated. What motivates you is hunger. You got to get motivated to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Coming to church and hearing some sermonette is not going to get done for your family what you need. But me telling you that you need more righteousness is going to be important for your family. Ain't a one rabbit fix it all. That guy's thinking we need a couple deer. Well, they're not going down a deer mart. There ain't no deer mart. We live out here. You ain't going to dollar store. There ain't no dollar store. What happened to those folks? They made it because they got motivated by their hunger. Or you can sit around and just starve to death. I'm telling you today, hunger will motivate you. And you get hunger toward righteousness, there's not a thing can stop you from serving God. Nothing can stop you. You ever wonder why Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. You can say whatever you want. Lock me up, beat me, shipwreck me, do what you want. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me. I got my mind made up. It doesn't matter what comes my way. It could be distress. It could be persecution. It could be all those things. Let me just stop right here because I got to intercept here by the Holy Spirit. I almost forgot this. Poor in spirit, mourn, meekness, hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Poor in spirit, what happens here? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. He's getting us ready. Because theirs is the kingdom. Righteousness sake. Oh. Righteousness sake. You think maybe we better learn this? Righteousness sake. You got to get hungry for the right food. What's that? Listen, we're talking about the master here, Yeshua. We're talking about the master. You know what he says? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what he said. Because he already knows what his message outline is. He already knows his outline. You think he knows? I think he got all the slides put together. I really do. Because he knows that the eighth one he's going to tell them, the persecuted are going to be persecuted for one reason, righteousness sake. Righteousness sake. For theirs, those, is the kingdom of heaven. Very important. So I just wanted to point that out because I'm going to spend more time in that, but I want you thinking about that. This is not just some pick of things. He had his whole outline done. Everything's the way it was, and it's in position the way it had to be for our understanding. So understand it, how important this is. Hunger is the strongest of motives. It produces energy. It drives decisive action. It's powerful. Decisive action. You're not contemplating eating. You're going to eat when you're hungry. I'm thinking about it. You got a lot to think about, but one of them is when you're hungry, you're not thinking about it. You're going to eat. I'm going to say it again. It produces energy and it drives decisive action. It's powerful. Hunger is a very powerful thing. When you're hungry, you'll do anything you can to get food. Anything. Hunger is very powerful. We read when the Israelites were besieged, the prophet said, you're going to go through this. They wouldn't let any food go in or out. They got so hungry, they ate each other. That's in the scripture. They ate each other. They said, well, if he... If he ain't alive, we might as well have him for supper. That's what they did. And God said they would do that because they didn't listen to him. They had an appetite to serve other gods, and he showed them what that looks like. You want to do that? This is what it looks like. You'll eat your own babies. That's terrible. How far can a man go when he eat his own kid? But that's what they did because they wouldn't listen to God. Now, I hope today that we're not operating like that. He said, I'd never do that. Listen, your appetite can be so strong for the world, you'll eat your own children because you don't care that they get up and sing these songs. I know you said, ain't no way you can fit that here. Listen, let me tell you, you can have an appetite so strong and so disdain from the things of God that it costs your children's life and you don't even bat an eye at it. Sometimes people need to realize the spot they're in because they don't see it. The way you act and the way you come before God can be the cost of your own kids, and we don't see that as the same. I see it exactly as the same. We're supposed to train them up in the way they should go. When they're older, they won't depart from the faith. If you constantly depart from the faith, you definitely are not training them up. And only by the grace of God that God intervenes, that comes through for them, and God he'll take kids and people and put people in their life that they can have that assurance. Because mom and dad won't do it for them. It's happened many times. It happened for Charlotte. Thank God for his grace and his goodness. He's good to us. And we ought to appreciate that. Isaiah 55. I'm giving you, this is just outlining this. I'm going to give you the basis for why we're going to talk about this and what we're doing it for. We're going to show you in Scripture how important it is that we talk about this. We're talking about Yeshua here. Why is he saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied? Well, let's look at Isaiah 55 for a moment here, just a few verses. Isaiah 55, verse number 1. He says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come. How many has ever been thirsty? You ever been thirsty? I mean, real, you just had to have some water. You didn't want no Coke or anything. You want water because you're thirsty. I don't want that. I want water. You don't drink a Coke when you're thirsty. You drink a Coke because you're hooked on them. That's the truth. That's what you drink it for. Not because you're thirsty, because they don't satisfy your thirst. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's up to you. I'm just telling you when you're thirsty, what your body wants. It's not, your body's smart. Your body's smart. God designed it. How smart can it get? God designed it. It's very smart. When you're feeling that, something starts happening inside of you, the body's saying, give me water. If you neglect that, before you know it, it'll start taking its toll on you because the body is so smart. It'll start getting its water from its own blood. And then it'll deplete it. And all of a sudden, you need more. It's telling you. Then what it'll do, it'll shut down the organs that you least need first. I'm talking about a design that God designed. You're not saying, shut this kidney. You're not doing that. It does it for you. Because you're not giving it what? Water. He said, you know, we're talking about being thirsty. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's doing it for you. The last organ that it'll shut down is your brain. When the brain shuts down, it's not so good for the rest of the body. You see how crazy it could get away on you? Now, from a spiritual standpoint, God has some righteousness that'll quench your thirst, but he tells you how to do it. Well, let's read it. Let's read it. He says, oh, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. I don't see Dr. Pepper right there. Mountain Dew didn't make the Bible. right? Because you're not, it's not what you get. He said, come to the what? Waters. Now, isn't it amazing when he's talking about hungry, he said, I am the bread of life. Then he talked about thirsty, he said, I'm the living water. Do you see where I'm going here? Do you see that hunger and thirst for righteousness can't be what you have made up in your own mind? It's already, just, it gives a clear description in Scripture what we're to seek after. Well, the way I see it, I shouldn't have to do that. Remember, it don't matter what you see. Well, I feel good the way I'm doing it. Self-righteous. You built your own thing and that's what it is. It doesn't work that way. That's why you could do all those things and never have this happen in your life, ever. No true hunger and thirst for righteousness so you can be satisfied. That's why it's never satisfaction there. Never. It's always in an uproar. Well, listen, I used to go and visit a church that was very legalist. So they were self-right, a lot of righteousness. They didn't do none of the things you did. But it was their own righteousness. So it was always in an uproar. Always. Always looking for something. Did you see? She cut her hair. She had makeup on. See, you could do it your own righteousness. It's up to you. But at the end of the day, that's not his righteousness that you're seeking. So it's going to constantly be in an uproar. Uproars are not just fighting. It's not the bickering and the yelling back and forth. There's an uproar inside of a person when they don't get this. And you're slowly killing yourself. Your body wants it. You got organs shutting down. And let me tell you, you can't get them back if you wait too long. You don't want to wait too long. Think about it. So watch what he says. Let me get to this. Come ye to the waters. Now watch this. And he that hath no money. So he's going to put some qualifying facts here. No money. Come ye buy. Now, if you got no money, you come ye and buy. I want to know what he means by buy if you got no money. Think about that. Because it costs. Let me read on. Notice what he says. Come ye buy and eat. Eat's for what? Because you're hungry. Drinking's for what? Because you're thirsty. Eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. But he's talking about this word buy. Because there's a cost. For this right here, there's a cost. Let's talk about the first cost. Remember, I made it in my third point. No, the second point I made it in. You got to mourn over your sins because it cost a lot of people. Not just the people around you, you and other people, but let's not forget it cost Yeshua Messiah his life. So he's saying, when you come here and you're hungering and thirst for righteousness, where you're satisfied, he's telling us there's a cost to it, but you can get it without money. Notice that. What are you purchasing it with? You're purchasing it with what you've learned here. You got to put this, you've got to bank all these things. What are you banking? Desire. Desire. Man, I got another check of desire. Where are you going? I'm going to deposit this. I'm going to deposit it. Because when I get here, I got no money to get here. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the energy to seek righteousness. I don't have it. I don't. What do you do? Take men, just take men and women and throw them in the world without any, don't tell them anything. What's the first thing they're going to cling to? Sin. They're not going to automatically be righteous. Who in here, when your baby was born, you trained how to eat? Or him? So, you just like a toy baby. You get them, they naked. They got a little button. It's called the hunger button. You got to put that on, right? Because if you don't put it on, they ain't going to know how to eat. You ain't done none of that. That baby knows what to do. When that baby's born and it's time to eat, they tell you what you didn't know. I'm in charge of this house. Just letting y'all know. And I'm going to cry and scream until somebody feels this hunger that I'm feeling. Tell me if that ain't true. And you get up. Who cares about the way you used to sleep? You think she cares or he cares? They don't care that you used. They can care less that you. I got to get my sleep. Really? You shouldn't have brought me here because I'm going to tell you when to sleep. Am I telling the truth? That baby going to tell you when to sleep. Nobody has to put the hunger button on a baby. They let you know that it's on and they mean it. Now, I was thinking about this. They get older. Kids get older, right? And they're not older. They just get older. Maybe they're two. One or two. And when they were young, you can put that, whatever it is, I don't even know what it's called. We knew it when my babies were young. But they got whatever that stuff's called. You mix it and you shake the bottles and you can do that or milk or whatever. And so they like that. But then you start getting the baby food that's got, you know, whatever, the flavors. And some of them, they don't want. Did anybody ever experience that? I mean, they'll eat some of them, like the pudding, they all want the pudding. Isn't it amazing? You ain't got to push the pudding, but they want pudding. They gobble that, but you pop out some vegetable one, and they go. Did anybody ever see your baby do that? So what you do, this is what I used to do. Stay with me now, because y'all know where I'm going with this. Oh, choo, 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 choo. Well, let me just tell you something. I'm tired of doing and choo, choo, choo for you to eat. When you get a good appetite, you're going to want what's right. When you got a good desire, you're going to want what's right. I shouldn't have to make the plane sound because the baby don't want it anyway. But they love that. They're watching it with their eyes. Just looking at it. And you doing all, I mean, you making circles and everything. And it's amazing the stuff stays on a spoon. I wouldn't want it. I mean, if it stays on the spoon upside down, maybe we shouldn't be giving it to them. I don't know. But that's what we want. We want the same way. But desire. Desire, you know what to seek. You already know. He's giving you the answer. What do you seek for? Righteousness. Righteousness. What I need today, more righteousness. What I need tomorrow, righteousness. What I need next week, righteousness. What I need 2 years from now, righteousness. You understand? You constantly have this. What is it going to do for your relationship between you and God? Think about it. We don't need seven steps to prosperity. We need righteousness. And you get righteousness in your life, you do things right, you're going to prosper anyway. Because he says at the beginning, he gives you the answer before you do it. Blessed. Blessed. Notice this. There's a cost. Wherefore do ye spend money? For that which is not bread. You're spending your life for something that's not bread. He said it's the wrong thing. You're going about it the wrong way. Notice that. For that which is not bread and your labor, notice it, your labor for that which satisfied not. Now what are we talking about here? What's the end? Shall be satisfied. And he said, but you're doing something for the moment. It tastes good. I can drink a cold drink. It tastes good, but a minute later, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Well, I told you. You know, so I would hear kids, we call our kids, Phil especially, Phil, we called him a guzzler when he was a kid. Because let me tell you, if it was juice, Kool-Aid, Coca-Cola, and it was just there, he didn't say, how long this been here? He had it. Because it wasn't water. Water sit there all day long. He ain't had none of it. But boy, if it was juice, I don't care what, guzzle it. I said, boy, you're a guzzler. He would pick on him all the time about he's a guzzler. But he was laboring for something that couldn't satisfy him. He was trying to get somewhere, but never could get there. Because water is what your body's asking for. Understand what I just read to you. I didn't notice this till this morning. I was going putting all, but this morning I noticed this. I was reading again. I said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat. He's not telling you not to eat, but eat what? What's right. Eat. Ye that which is good. What is he calling good here? Righteousness. He's not telling you not to eat. He's not telling you not to have an appetite. He's not telling you not to hunger or thirst. He wants you to do those things because that's the desire. That's the desire of us as humans. We desire that. He's telling you to do what's good. And who's the speaker here? Yeshua's the speaker. And he's telling us what's good for you. After you recognize this, you're in poverty, you've mourned over your sins, you realize that you mourn because it cost somebody's life to get you here. Then you meekness, now you're locked in with Yeshua, you're walking in the yoke, you're not being drugged, you're not resisting, you're flowing. You need that because you don't resist. If you resist, you lose what? Momentum. You're going to lose momentum. What happens? Just if he's taking 5 steps and you're taking 3, that's called being drugged. He's dragging you. Some people, you got to drag them to read the Bible. You got to drag them to church. Let me go on. But if he's taking 4 steps and you're taking 4 steps, what is he getting you ready for? We're about to leave this and get on some being hungry and thirsty for righteousness. We need momentum. The only way you get here. If you have any resistance in your life right now, you have not got here. You say, well, there was a time in my life. That's a good point. I'm glad you made it for you. A time. We're not talking about a time in your life. We're talking about today. Because the time in your life doesn't matter as much as today matters. Because today, you could do something about it, but you can do nothing about a time in your life. Nothing. It has escaped all of us. What we didn't do, we failed at. We might as well admit our failures and realize this, because today I could do everything about this. What does he tell me? He says, very important. I want to read it to you so you see it. He says, hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, I preached this message several times, and a few years ago, I really got a hold of some things in this passage. But I never tied it in to the Beatitudes. This morning, I was just sitting there. I said, I'm missing something. It's going to be my leading. I had verses. I got verses. But boy, I need an opener. Lord, I need an opener. There's got to be an opener somewhere. There's got to be an opener. And I thought about Isaiah. I'm reading Isaiah right now. It's just my reading time. I'm not on 55, but I just read 6 and 7. But I was reminded of Isaiah because I'm in Isaiah. Think about that. Think about how God is so good to us. Delight yourself in fatness. How many want to get delight yourself in fatness? Hunger, thirst for righteousness. Very important. Last verse here. Incline your ears and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now, that right there, I'm going to pay attention. I'm paying attention. And he says, okay, what are we talking about? Live, the soul living It can only be done by what? The soul living can only be done by him giving to you and I eternal life. You don't possess it innately. Nobody innately possesses eternal life. Nobody. This is something that's gained. It's a reward. It's a prize. It's a promise. Very important. Remember Paul said, he said, that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. I'm trying to get there. Paul, we're talking about Paul. The apostle Paul said, that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Right? When they get up, I get up. Because he knew he didn't innately have it. And you talk about faithfulness and somebody who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, it was Paul. But he spoke those words. I mean, that wakes you up. These little comments people make. You see why where they're coming from. So notice this. Incline your ears, come unto me, and hear that your soul may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So I just those three verses right there, it's very important. Very important that we understand what is he talking about. What is he saying? So I want my soul to live. Can my soul live? It does if I hunger and thirst for righteousness. If I give, if I consume things that point me to life, it's going to be good. If I consume things that points me to death, that's not going to be good. Simple. So maybe one of us, me or Pastor Josh, we're going to put a table up here and we're going to put stuff on the table. Some stuff that you eat points you to death, and some that you eat points you to life. That's simple. Let me give one example. If I put Diet Coke here and water over there, which one you think is more likely to point you to life? So I'm going to show you how smart you are. Do you understand? If you drink Diet Coke in here, I'm not preaching on Diet Coke. I'm just using that as an example. So don't hate me on Facebook. Pastor, he's preaching on, no, we can't do easy, we can't do Christmas, we can't even drink Diet Coke over there. Let me just tell y'all. Y'all might not even want me in the next 5 years. But I'm going to say everything I can while I'm here. Everybody still with me? What time we got? All right, we got time to do Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Now, again, I'm laying out scriptural foundation. There ain't no sense in me trying to make believe I can talk about this stuff right here if we're not seeing it in the scripture. Where I start at? Where did I start showing you these things? I'm showing you these things in the Old Testament. It's what we call the Old Testament. I'm showing you there that these things are important. These are the prophets. These are major prophets. Not because they were better, because their writings were so long. They had a lot to say. God spoke to them a lot. Well, Jeremiah, God speaks to him in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 1. And he says this, moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, who's talking to Jeremiah? Yahweh. How many think we should listen when Yahweh talks? You better believe it. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem and saying, thus said Yahweh, I remembered thee in thy kindness of thy youth and the love of thy espousal. Notice that. That's an engagement. That's a covenant. It's just like marriage. It's not marriage because we know that don't happen until he returns. Very important. So, and the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness and in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto Yahweh, the first fruit of his increase. All that devoured him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith Yahweh. Hear the words of Yahweh, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus said Yahweh, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are going far from me and have walked after vanity? He's saying, what? Somebody tell me, when did I quit being Yahweh to you? When did I hurt you? When did I desert you? When did I do any of these things that you have left me and done the things you're doing? I don't understand what's happening here. I took you from Egypt, from slavery, with my mighty hand. I want to read that verse again because it's important. Here he says, hear ye the word of Yahweh, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Remember, what are we talking about? Where righteousness starts? I look at me, and I look at Yahweh, and I go, wow. No fault, no failure. Nobody gave him what he possessed. He possessed without, it's underived. Think about that. And now he's saying hunger and thirst for that. Giving us a chance for what Adam forfeited. When Adam was created, it was a gimme. When he created Adam in his image and his likeness, Adam had the glory garment on. What caused the glory garment to come off? Sin. Now you're naked. If you don't have God's glory on you, what? You're naked. He said, you're all naked before me. Never forget your condition. You think you're hiding, you can't hide anything from God. We're all naked before him. All of us. Can't hide a thing from God. He knows everything. Everything going on. The deepest, darkest spot in your life that you think nobody knows, he knows. We only make it and survive because of his grace. It's his grace. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness and your grace. It's the only way we make it. And I want you to understand this next part, how important it is. What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Walked after vanity, become vain. Neither said they, where is Yahweh that brought us up out of the land of Egypt and led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of shadows of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwell? He didn't take us the easy route. He brought us through a path that if it wouldn't have been for Yahweh to intervene for us, we'd all die. He's trying to remind them of that. Can you remember that spot in your life? If it wouldn't have been for Yahweh, you'd be dead? Not once, not twice. Do you understand my point here? You think about that many times. What an opportunity we have today to serve him. I brought you into plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, now, I don't want you to understand this. He didn't say the land defiled them. When you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. You defiled my land. The priest said not, where is Yahweh? And they that handled the law knew me not. Do you understand? Those who had Torah, they had Torah, knew him not. They went through the form. They did all the right things. That's why he told him. He said, I had it up to here with your feasts and your new moons and all that. Who cares about that? The way you're doing it is not right. So you could do things the way God says, but if you do it wrong, you'll be back in the same boat. You might as well put bells and gold and embrace it and do all those things on top of it, because that's where you are. Just because you switched don't mean you switched. We're not going to, listen, there's no get off the hook here. If we're going to do it, we got to find out where we're going wrong, even in what we're doing. Because we don't want to do that. Because listen to what he said. He said, those who had the law, they didn't even know me. The priest said not, where is Yahweh? And they that handled my law knew me not. Listen to this. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. Notice what he said, the pastors. I wonder if we're doing that. Think about it. A lot of pastors in the world. Some people think that word, that title there is some angelic title. He said the pastors. When he said the pastors knew me now, you don't want to be the pastor no more. Think about it. He's just letting us know there ain't no title you can put on yourself that gets you some pass. There's no pass. You're either hungering and thirst for righteousness or you're not. If you're not, then you're not. And your soul won't live. Can anybody get that? Your soul won't live unless you've given it what it takes. What does it take to live? Righteousness. You got to give it righteousness. I was telling Pastor Josh today, when we came through some eras, right? After being here 30 plus years, you come through some eras of church. We've been through the era where we entertain people. Our services were kind of like shows, almost. We had fast music, hands clapping, feet stomping, people singing, people come out. We can knock them all down if we wanted to. Anybody ever see that? I mean, it's excitement. People could get into that. It's just like going to a rock concert. You ain't never been to a rock concert, you go to one. Before you know it, Brother Jesse's over there. He's into it. That's what happens. Because you expose yourself to that. And you can try to resist the beat, but it won't do it. The only way you can resist is not be there. Do something else. Hunger for something else. But if you put yourself in that position, I don't care who you are or who you think you are, you succumb to the beat. You ever been in a restaurant? They play music in the restaurant every now and then. They do different music. And maybe it's one of them songs you used to listen to. Huh? And it don't take long. Memory lane comes slap you right in the forehead. Am I telling the truth or not? It just does. Man, I remember when I... You remember. You'd be shocked how much you remember. Right? It's just what it is. What do? Change your desires. Inundate yourself. What happens? You don't like that as much. You resist that. What you turn now your desires is more toward righteousness. Can you say, man, I'll never have fun. I have a lot of fun. But my main goal is to seek Him. That's my goal in life. My goal in life is to seek Him. And He wants that. That's what He desires from us. But He said this is what they did. And after these things, it did no profit for them. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith Yahweh, and with your children, your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Shittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligent and see if there be such a thing. Now watch this. Hath a nation changed their mighty ones? Think about that. Which are yet no mighty ones? Great question. Had a nation changed their mighty ones? Which are yet no mighty ones? But my people have changed their glory. Notice that. My people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. There's no profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith Yahweh, for my people have committed two evils. Two evils, he said, my people have committed. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns at that. Think about that, broken cisterns. They've hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You know what's sad? It's when you're going on this journey and you're going to take this walk. If you've never done it before, you're going to go hiking or whatever, and you don't know, you've never done it. So me and my wife did this one time. We was in Montana, and we're going to take a hike. And they look up, you're standing on the road in the valley, and you look up, and they got this waterfall. You see it, and they said, man, That ain't their fault. Be careful what your eyes will do to you. That ain't their fault, I said to my wife. She said, well, it looks far to me. I said, but we're young. We can make it. And off we went. About halfway, I'm thinking, it ain't no more than a mile away. 5 miles in, halfway. We were grabbing hand over fist. That's how they gauge these treks. They gauge them whether it's a one, a two, a three, or a four, it, depending. So hand over fist is what we're doing. How many know what that means? Hand over fist. We're pulling ourselves up an incline. We got to the top of that incline. It leveled off again. I went, whew. My wife was sweating for the first time in her life. I went, oh, yeah. What is on you? She ain't here. She knocked me out. I want to know what was on her. She had something on. It was glistening. I ain't never seen that. She said, we are too old for this. But we had other people we were following. And, you know, you following other people, you're going to, you staying up. And they with no sweat, they was gone. I was like, God, tell him, trip him, put a rock in front of him. At last, I was saying, break his ankle and his leg. Because I can't keep up with this guy. But we got to the top of that waterfall. First, we got to Moses' rock. Because they told us about it. So this rock, big old rock, and there's this water flowing out, a spring is flowing out. We drank when we needed it. Just drink right out the rock. And I thought about it. I could have been in better shape to do this. It'd have been more enjoyable. But I didn't count the cost that it would take to get me to the rock to drink. I didn't count that cost. I just got finished telling about our hike in Montana. So then we passed the rock and went a little bit further. And there was this beautiful waterfall shooting out the side of this mountain and just going down. And then you look out and you say, is that where we were? We were a long way away. But when you're looking at the mountain, it looked close to you because it's a mountain. But it didn't look that far. But when you're from the mountain looking out, you go, I came that far. That's a long way. Then I thought about it. We got to go back. Think about it. We got to go back. And let me tell you, we took the deepest breath we could. We just hung on to each other. I mean, it was something. We were not prepared at all. They said, bring some snacks. Well, if you're going to walk a mile, what kind of snack you need? We're going to share this water. I ain't carrying a bunch of water. Man, when I got to that rock, that bottle of water we were sharing was gone a long time ago. We didn't count the cost. I'm going to tell you, you're going to go through some spots. Wherefore, notice what it said. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living water and have viewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Sometimes you got to realize what you're up against. Let me tell you what you're up against. The devil's not for you. He don't care about you, your family, your kid. He don't care about nothing. He don't care about your health. And listen. The devil don't care about your health, and if you don't care about your health, then I want to know who does. Think about that. He can care less about that. When you go to the table and you got a desire for something, you built your appetite up for something, you're going to take whatever you want. That's what you'll do, and we'll make comments like this. Well, you got to live. No kidding. That's what the whole point is. We got to live. But some people say you got to live, meaning you got to die. Think about that. So I think we got enough done today to get us where we need to be. I'll read this. Well, I can't read that because I have to go on. So we'll stop right here. But my point today was just kind of get us a foundation of where we're going to be going with this scripturally to see how important it is. Hunging and thirsting for righteousness and shall be satisfied is important to our life.